Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. The GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day. This is Sunday. And for those of you that follow us, you know this means heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And as we await for my brother to come on, I want to take this opportunity once again to thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast, and I want to say may the Lord continue to bless you, your families, and your loved ones in Jesus' almighty name, because all glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you know what? He's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Glory be to God. So thank God for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Glory be to God. I pray that all of you that's listening are safe, especially those of you here in the United States who are living somewhere around Louisiana and some parts of Mississippi here, because you know, what is it called, Hurricane Ida, who's been declared a Category 4 storm, supposed to be having an effect down there. I think New Orleans, Louisiana is under a flash flood warning. They said one time the other day that the winds were looking to be at 140 or 150 miles per hour. But we thank God for this blessed day in Christ Jesus. We thank God for what he's doing and what he's going to do. Now I have a call on here. God bless you. Who am I talking with? God bless.
Hello?
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 Yes.
Oh. Okay. I was trying to get a speaker up here.
Oh, okay. You got a new number here, brother. Okay.
I'm using this thing here. It's a new thing. And can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I get it. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Oh, well, I was just saying it to everyone. I pray that they're safe. You know, I don't know if you heard that the Hurricane Ida has well, they expecting her to hit the state line of Mississippi. She have been, landfall. She have hit the landfall down there by the coast. I know New Orleans is under a flash flood warning, and I know the other day their governor, their mayors, I know, was telling them that they needed to exit or leave, and that was about a couple of days ago. So last report I got that she has hit the land. She did not weaken. She's a Category 4. She has come down to the land. I know I heard the news today. They suspecting her to cross the Mississippi state line tonight. And I know my job has just sent me a text and told us not to come to work tomorrow. So But we have been praying here. Here in Durant, we've got some rain. It was a little wind, but got some rain off and on. Right now, it's not raining at all. But she down the South Mississippi way. I think they was saying they were expecting her to come by 7 o'clock. Well, around this time tonight, that they were saying the other day. So we have prayed and thank God for her protecting and keeping His people.
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot of practice on that.
Yep.
We're about to practice. You know, you hear a lot of preaching and teaching, great, wonderful. But we're about to practice some of this stuff, put it to what you call, put to the test. You know, people, you hear preaching great, wonderful sermons and messages about the people going through this and facing that in the Bible. And it's marvelous, and people shout over it, and, you know, fires in their lives, dead in the fire in the midst of that. And other people were thrown into prison. Peter was in prison. Paul was tied up and whooped and beaten. And all of these things that the first century Church of Christ had to endure. And people shout out and they say, oh, God brought them out and God delivered them. Now, here comes the reality. Those nice, sweet, wonderful sermons that made us shout and jump and dance. We're going to have to offer a great opportunity to get out of the boat and walk the water, as they say. And now, you know what's going to happen? The question's going to come. Jesus, you know what Jesus was going crossing the water and the great wave of storm come up, you know, and Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. He was taking a nap, and he took them across that for an experience. It was actually an experience of their faith. Everything that Jesus did was a working of training and preparing them. So when they got in the midst of water, the water got so, waves got so great, it was in the boat, and Jesus says, where is your faith? You know, he asked him a question. Then he said, oh, you're a little faith. Oh, you a little faith. And he said, all it took was a little faith. And he said, well, where's your little faith? He said, you know. So we're about to come to a realization that, about the word of God that we preach or teach, we say is great, and people shout and jump and hallelujah and praise the Lord and speak in tongues. They go, wow. Now we're going to check the hats at the door. And so we're going to have to believe that in these days, all of us are getting ready to be tested, and I mean tested, hallelujah, because we're not going to escape any of the things that the early church had to go through, and I know that those sermons have sounded good about we're not going to be go through the ultimate test, but I'm afraid that's not really accurate, because the Lord goes, not going to let us escape being tested. I'm afraid that ain't going to go well. If the early church in the first and second century was tested to the uttermost, is that right?
Amen. Amen.
Do you think that he's going to say, okay, you boys at the end, I ain't going to let y'all be tested? I mean, yeah, y'all, my nice sweet children, I'm not going to let y'all be tested like the early church. Y'all ain't got to go through that. Okay, you ain't got to be tested that way. I'm going to spare y'all. I'm going to be a respected person. So the storms are coming to these big cities, too. I mean, coming to your coast, and these storms, you know, the storm has been increasing and increasing.
Hey, man, you know, today marks 16 years when Katrina hit.
16 years.
Yep, 16 years, 2005.
And you see that, and Haiti had been hit back, what, about 10 years before, 8 years before? And then it came right back and hit Haiti again. This far cut, this record hit Haiti. I mean, Haiti was the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Right off of, what, Florida or whatever. It is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And that's, it is, you know, its foundation is voodoo, hoodoo, witchcraft, and all that stuff. And Haiti, and you know that, and it came right back and the other week hit Haiti again. And now it's threatening at New Orleans again. It's,
yeah.
And so we had to stand our ground. And what did Jesus say when the storm came? The wind, ferocious way it came. And he said, and they were in the boat, and they were in training, and they was in preparation to take the mantle as Jesus left. And he says, I thought, in other words, it seemed like he had, putting it this way, I thought you all had come to the place where you all was growing to the pace. I don't know how many years, or there was Jesus in the second year of his training. It sounded like he was progressive. And he asked him a question when the water got in the boat and the waves got into the boat. And they woke up Jesus and asked him, don't you care we're about to perish? Are you insensitive? We're about to drown and you sleeping on us? And Jesus is trying to tell him, awake your faith. So we're going to agree that all the believers in that area were trying their faith and prayers, not only, but I think, you know, and during the time of these things that's coming, the people can intercede to God, and they begin to intercede to the Lord, but then they have to stop interceding, and then they have to speak to the storm. Well, it's coming down to the dynamo. As we intercede for God and ask for the people and about what to happen, that he will let it, you know, things pass over or what is needful. And then what we have to do, like Jesus said, speak for the storm. And we're going to have to begin to do that. We'll have to command the storm. And because that's one of the supernatural miracles that Jesus demonstrated in his ministry, how he spoke to the weather, the environment, the elements. And he began to speak to them. Hallelujah. And so we're going to train ourselves because, man, you're on that coast, you all been getting storms and areas and increasing. And I think storms and volcano has increased 100-fold or more. And you know that I understand that in America in the last 2 years, storms and volcanoes and waves and tidal has increased more than 100%. And they're still increasing, aren't they?
Amen. Amen. Yes, they are. Yes,
and
they are.
And they're going to increase because he told us that the storms in our generation, people say, well, oh, we always had storms. But the storm is going to increase 1,000-fold. And some places, they already quadruple and quadruple increasing. And have you noticed that certain areas are continually in the 3 years, like the coast, like Florida or California, Texas, Oklahoma, on the West Coast, East Coast, even in the South Coast, in the area that you're in, there's increasing a velocity of storms, huh?
Amen.
Time as Christians stop fighting one another and stand against their enemy, right? Stop all that foolishness.
Amen.
And be united together when they have a common enemy that's about to hit. And New Orleans had they did. I was thinking, like I told you before, for quite a while, I had questioned in my mind because Haiti is known as the central capital of a certain type of voodoo, hoodoo, witchcraft culture for centuries. And I was wondering, I had been wondering, I said, Lord, I wonder what Haiti, they did. And then I thought about New Orleans. New Orleans in the United States, it is the offshoot of Haiti with all of its, what they call it? Louisiana is known as the center of...
The Mardi Gras. The Mardi Gras.
No, you call it the Mardi Gras. I'm talking about Louisiana, since I was a little kid, has known as the Coochie Coochie witchcraft source. You go over to Louisiana and get your stuff, brother. So Louisiana has been known ever since I was a little kid, be notorious the center of sorcery, witchcraft, and sorcery, and all kind of stuff, and especially New Orleans and all that whole area since I was a little kid. I mean, since I was a little kid, people would go to Louisiana. I mean, you know, I'm telling you that a voodoo, witchcraft, and underlying stuff in Louisiana and in Haiti. And, you know, I have been thinking for a long time. I said, Lord, I have been thinking in my mind, I said, you haven't shook up New Orleans. You haven't shooken up Haiti. They just going on for centuries, and the devil's doing what he wants. And all of a sudden, Haiti got hit back here, and New Orleans got devastated. And so the Lord is going to say it by the angel messenger, and a lot of people need to consider what the angel messenger says that's coming in Message 28, 22, and 26 about what's going to happen. And we're facing the reality of the velocity of the anger of God among the nations. And so he told his people, fear not, neither be afraid. So therefore, his arm, his right hand is over his people, surrounding them, so they can stand in the midst of deliverance and begin to praise and worship God. And thank God that he's the God of Moses, Elijah, and Abraham, and he can preserve his own, and he will. He will deliver his own. Hallelujah. And they can trust him in the midst of the storm, because if we can't trust God in the storm, if we can't trust him in the wind, if we can't trust him in the fire, then we had to go back to the altar and get some more of that, right?
Amen. Amen. Yes, amen. Sir.
I remember several occasions back here, brother, sister, they went to the tent because, you know, Chicago in the 60s, they had a lot of people, tent preachers used to come to Chicago. Chicago at one time was the main city in the 60s where tent preachers used to come to. And the people don't realize that in Chicago, most all the tent preachers had to come to Chicago. If you was a really evangelist, a tent preacher, you had to come to Chicago, to the Coliseum, or pitch a tent up. We had A. Allen used to come twice a year, Chambach, and I can name the different evangelists that used to come to Chicago. It was the hub of evangelism. Brunshine put his tent out, and boy, he blew that tent down. And the people were running. I wasn't there, but so many, that thing started falling. That wind blew the tent down. And a couple more other evangelists was telling the story about when they was having the revival and that the whole tent was shaking. And this guy in South Carolina somewhere, he said to the Lord, what shall I do? Shall I run? What should I do? And he said, the Lord said, just say to the storm, shalom. And when he said, he opened his mouth and said, shalom, and the wind on the whole coast just stopped and ceased. So we have to have a word in our mouth to say to the storm to preserve us. That's just all to it. So let's believe that God is in the storm and in the whirlwind for his people. He's not absent. Amen. So they planned it's going to hit your coastline, right?
Yeah, well, it's already, quote, hit the coastline. It hit land, and they were trying to see whether it was going to weaken, but it didn't. It remained a Category 4. But they said tonight, I think is about, well, around this time, they expected to cross the Mississippi state line and down further south where they looking for it to really hit down at. But they said that they was looking for it to, quote, leave Mississippi by noon Tuesday. But they, you know, they have declared a state of emergency for, I think, Louisiana and Mississippi. And yet they said up this way where we at, up northern way, they were talking about looking for winds to probably get about as much as 57 miles per hour because the Category 4 storm is 140 to 150 miles per hour. So they said this way to look for winds about up to 57 miles per hour and, you know, blow some of your carports and things like that, what they were saying. So,
well, let's command. Are we aware that in every territory there is an angel of God over that territory? Psalm 34:35, and Psalm 102, and Psalm 68, and Psalm 98. There is an angel of God over that area, and then there is also a territorial demon that's over that area. The Bible talks about principalities and powers, and you can look Daniel 9, and you can talk about princes that's over territories and over states. And then you talk about the angels of God has been, God has stationed angels over certain states and over areas. So the angel over your area, Psalm 34 and Psalm 35, we have to ask the Lord to release that angel to deter some of the storms, to preserve his people and deliver and turn the storm if it's his will. Now, some of these storms and things are sent by the Lord. Now, this is the part that most people don't understand. Some storms and volcanic winds are released by the Lord. And we'll find that in the scriptures that Lord himself sends storms and he'll send winds to certain places because they're there to shake up and awaken and to stir up. So let's believe God and the Lord Jesus that he will send, release his angel that's over that area to deter. And let us command the wisdom of God to prevail in preserving his people who are under the covenant of his blood. And we will ask mercy for all the people that's not under the blood. But we know that the Lord is going to allow storms to come. So, I mean, we're going to have storms because the Lord has commanded storms and volcanoes. I've been seeing the last couple of weeks, several weeks, certain incidents and things that's going to hit in unlikely places. And hallelujah. But the people of God that stand in the gap can deter certain things, can delay and block certain things. This is the authority that the believers have. They can deter certain things, or they can lay it, or they can lessen the evil. So let's invoke the mercy and grace of Lord Jesus that he'll let the angel of God that's over that territory of your area and those coastlines, that they stand with, that he and his marais of protecting angels will stand with the people that's under the covenant of God's grace. Lord Jesus,
yes,
as
Lord,
you shielded Israel, and it said, it shall not come nigh thee. And you was able to do the super above a miracle to preserve and deliver. And you said that it shall not come nigh your people, and Israel was preserved in many cases when they walked steadfast before you. They were preserved, and they were kept, and they were delivered. And they were not yes. to fear, neither be afraid, but walk in yes. faith and much assurance. Because the Lord God said, I will preserve thee when thou pass through the storm and through the fire. When the flood shall come, I shall be with you, and I will deliver thee. So is yes. your word that cover your people. So is your covenant will not break. And your mercy is great morning by morning and evening by evening. We know, Lord, that you promised that you're going to release storms and many winds and many things that will come up on the earth to shake the nations. We know it yes. it's that time. And you were going to release many storms, and Satan was going to do many things.
Yes.
So we ask you that under your wings shall your people trust. As a hen yes. giveth her chicks under her wings to preserve them, so preserve ye covenant ones, your redeemed and faithful ones. Deliver him and preserve them in your right hand and deliver them. And even as the psalm says in Psalms 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord Jehovah. He that keepeth Israel does not slumber. He that keepeth me does not slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He preserve thee and deliver thy soul and preserve thee as the apple of thine eye. We are the apple of your eye. We are your jewels. We are your sons. So all of your sons and daughters who are in agreement in that area, let them see the miraculous hand, the right hand of the Most High God to preserve and deliver. Lord, we ask you to release your angel. Your station, your warning, your angels, your ministering angels over
yes, Lord.
That area. We ask you to release.
Hallelujah.
We ask you to release the
yes,
shielding
Lord.
Angel of our deliverance. You said
yes.
that the Lord be for us, who can be against us, and he's greater than the storms. We need not fear. For the Lord
yes.
is my shepherd, I will fear no evil, no storm, no wind, no tornado, no volcano, no turbulence movement of the element. I will not fear. I will trust in the hand of the living God.
Yes,
he's
Lord.
The God of the storm. He's the storm in the midst,
yes.
and he's the God in the midst of the fire. And he's
yes.
not asleep, but he will preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth because we trust in his arm. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
For covering us under the blood of Jesus and hiding us on the cross. Covering us under your
yes.
blood. Those souls, and bless the covenant ones and the redeemed ones. Deliver them, preserve them, miracles by your right hand, and anoint their dwelling place. And dwell, let the angel of the Lord stand there for the angel that is given charge over us. Let him stand forth and preserve us and those that put their trust in the living God. Thank you for being faithful over your word. Thank you
yes,
for being
Lord.
The miraculous supernatural God of protection and deliverance. As Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty God. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He shall deliver me. Hardly under his wings, under his presence, do I trust. Therefore, no evil
yes.
shall not, no plague, nor even storms, an earthquake shall not come nigh thee, for he is upholding with the right hand, upholding your people
thank you,
and your faithful
yes.
in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Your miraculous deliverance hand of the Lamb of God who can be worthy to be trusted. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we praise you for your amazing grace and your amazing grace to those that believe, even you're in the boat. Even though we think when the storms and the winds blow, we have to remember you're in the boat with us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When the blood comes to Israel, when the blood of Jesus was a sign, let the blood be over the doorpost of your service. Let the blood of Jesus and the angel of deliverance stand there and preserve and deliver and show your miracles that you are mighty God that preserve and deliver you and apple of your eye. Thank you for doing that, Jesus. Oh, thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. And we can trust in your arm. We can trust in your hand. We can trust in your faithfulness. We can trust in your love. We can rest and fear no evil. We can fear no storm. We can fear no volcano, no disruption of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For you sit on the circle of the earth, Lord, and you look up down upon your people, and you said, my hand has preserved them. As the day of the children of Israel, you preserved them. And so your covenant is intact, and we know you'll keep your covenant. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, the mighty God of deliverance, the Holy One of God, thou art faithful.
Yes, Lord.
Thou art true. Thou art faithful, and thou art true. Thou art faithful, and you said, fear not, neither be afraid. For the Lord God, as he with King David and with Israel, so will he be with his people today. Amen. And amen.
Yes.
Well, thank the Lord. We'll magnify the Lord in the midst of the storm. We fear no evil. Let's not fear no evil. He said, neither be afraid, for the Lord thy God with thee to deliver. And he's the same today. So thank God. We have been sort of blessed. We had this last little windstorm back here 2 weeks ago when our lights went out where I lived there for about 30 minutes. But we're expecting more winds and storms and upheaval, the elements. He's going to use the elements to shake up the nation. He's going to use the elements to shake up the nation. And that's what he's going to do. And he's going to do it. He's going to use the waters and the elements and the volcano and the whirlwinds. And they will come. And they're going to come fast and furious on these cities. Hallelujah. And so they have increased in some places 100-fold, 200-fold, and 300-fold. And as soon as they get almost, then here come another one. Because they have not cried out to the God that created all the heavens and earth. See, they have not turned, you know, just like 9/11, only a small few people. Just a false view. Small view of people. America did not turn. Only a few small group of people parts were churched on 9/11 and a nation for a little while, for a little bit, they turned their eyes for help and hope from the Most High God. But as soon as that year passed, they got back to their routine. And so 9/11 didn't get the job done. Okay? It was a baby touch, a baby awakening. So God wants to show you, I'm the only one who can protect you and deliver you, not your guns and your weapons and your radar. I'm the one who can deliver you. You can get all your radar and you can get all your weapons and you can trust in your armies, and that's nice and all good. But if you don't trust in the arm of the living God, wow, I can let planes come right in and drop bombs right on your largest city, and you don't know how it happened. Praise the Lord. So don't think that your deliverance is in the arm of flesh or military might. He said, I'm your deliverer. I'm your deliverer, Lord God. So America has lessened her defense system because she turned away from the Lamb of God. So now she's in a crisis mode trying to protect herself, just like Israel did. They found out that wasn't a good idea. Wow. That's one of the curses when you, the nation that forget and forsake the living God, Psalms 2 said, shall be turned into destruction and hell. So we don't want to turn our back fully upon the Lord. We want to turn back to the living God. We want to turn our hearts and our lives back to the Lamb of God. That's Amen. The wake-up call. Amen. So anyway, hallelujah. Do like Peter, rest and believe. Go to sleep like faith says and believe and trust in the arm of the living God. Amen. You're in his hand anyway. If his hand is able to keep, preserve you alive from day to day and keep the stars and the moons and the universe in place, surely he can keep his people. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thinking that down there, you know, yo, I'm thinking, but with Chicago, in the center of the city, we haven't had a major one in the city of Chicago, but the underlying cities all around Chicago, they always hit 100 miles or 50 miles in a suburb away around Chicago. They hit all the time with them suburbs, boy. I mean, whenever a storm coming, it hit. It always hit, basically, in the 50 miles or 60 miles suburbs around Chicago. And now and then we'll get a little something within the edges of Chicago. But we haven't had a major one yet. But it's coming. It's coming, brother. Sally Gamara is going to get a wake-up call.
Yeah. Amen.
All the Sally Gamara cities are going to get a wake-up call. I mean, when the Lord let 9/11 happen, and that didn't really wake America up, wow. He let the enemies come right in and sit on your back, your front doorstep. And that didn't wake up America enough. Now, he didn't let them destroy the major cities. He could have let five or six of them playing just really came on through, you know.
Amen.
But because the righteous and some people was interceding, it was stopped and hindered. So the prayer of the intercessors is the greatest need this hour. Hallelujah. The greatest call is of the intercessor in this hour. So hold back. To hold back and stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Been telling people this for the last 15, 20 years, that the greatest call need is the spiritual warrior and the intercessor. And when I said this back 15 years in the church, they look at me like, well, okay. Mm-hmm, okay. I said, are you going to see whether this Ezekiel and Daniel says, where is the intercessor? And where is the warrior of God? Hallelujah. And you're going to see the importance of these two callings, the spiritual warfare warrior and the intercessor. Hallelujah. Because the intercessor has a particular job to preserve and deliver a nation. Hallelujah. Just like Daniel and Abraham and many of the prophets who stood in the gap. Moses delivered Israel when the Lord was about to destroy them. He was so mad at Israel and to lead them through the wilderness of 40 years. He said, let me wipe them out and make me another nation. And I'll give you another people. I'm tired of these people. Let me wipe them out. And Moses said, Lord, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he stood in the gap and he pleaded for Israel. I mean, he had to do some plead, boy, because the Lord about to wipe them out. He said, they have angered me. They have angered me. And Israel was about to get wiped out. You know, he's going to raise up another people. And so, but Moses pleaded. As you read, I think in Exodus, Exodus, was it 33 and 34, where Moses pleaded for Israel? Okay. All right. That's the miraculous hand of the living God. Now, Haiti just got hit back in, what, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks?
Right, right.
And then the second disaster, they assassinate the president of Haiti. Who,
right.
There's some, wow. Is that something? My light's going out. The light's going out in my area again.
Oh, man, right now? Oh, okay, okay.
Now, they did this 2 weeks ago, and so I had got my lantern, and I was supposed to get another lantern for my life. Let me see. Let me look out this door here. See all the people lights out. No, it looks like it's just my lights. I see the people around me. That light's on. So I thought it was
on.
So it seems like my light, oh, my light's back on now. Thunder must have been somewhere where the lights went back. So it's going to be like that. And this is what's coming to these cities. And so, my light's blinking again out. And something must be, no, it was a box. My light went out. Let me see. So, I guess they'll get it going. And now, this is going to happen. These things are going to happen to these cities. So we might as well get ready.
Amen.
Those people are lights back on again. So now this is going to be happening to these large cities. And so we might as well get prepared. Get our lanterns or our, what you call those things to keep the lights going if you got a house, a home. Then you can get
generator.
The sunroof.
Generator. Generator.
Yeah. Because I would advise people that have houses at home to get them a generator or get them a cell or what they call over them, a solar things or a gas run or kerosene generator or because it would be to their wisdom to do so. Living in an area where a house was, I would definitely get a generator, but I'm not living in a house. So I would definitely tell people to get them a cell or solar generator or a kerosene or whatever generator. And those people, you know, everyone need to get them a gasoline or battery run lantern. And you better get a banner. Now, those that live in the rural, if they have to get a kerosene lantern, because they can keep a gallon of kerosene. And so you can be prepared because, or you can be unprepared. Either way you want to go to it. Anybody out there? Everybody getting ready for work. Okay. We got a few minutes left. But I would suggest that for the last 25 years, we know that these is coming. The cities are going to be hit. The lights are going to be, you see all these devastation happen to Florida and different areas. And some of them, after a year or 2 years, has not recovered. And so you might as well do two things, be prepared or unprepared.
Amen.
And see now, when the cities like Chicago and Big Lady, we're not going to be able to get water to these cities because the Salvation Emergency is going to take about 3 days. It's going to take 3 days for emergency to work to get in if something happens to the city. It takes 3 days to get you some water or some food, at least 3 days. The minimum is 3 or 4 days. And the lights could be out and hit, and the storm could come, and the lights could be out for a couple of days, 3 days, or 7 days. So that means anything in electricity concerning food and your light or air conditioning, you know, there you go. So there we are. So you can take the remark from it. So that's the way it is. So in some situations, you're not going to be able to travel using mobiles. So those people that are getting bicycles and motor bicycles will do well getting those motor bicycles and getting those bicycles. I would advise everyone, especially in the cities, to make sure they get a bicycle or a tricycle or a motorcycle, one of those small motorbikes. Well, anyway, people say, I'm all good. Okay, then you're good. Let's speak about the people in the rural America was better off in many ways than these big cities. Because in my day, long ago, the people depends on, just like the Amish do not depend on anything. You know, the Amish don't depend on any modern technology. And some of the Quakers, but the Amish do not depend on any of the modern technology, do they?
Amen.
And so they're prepared. They depend on none of the electricity, none of the modern person. And brother, we're going to try to find the Amish and become an Amish quick. Wish we could have wished. So let's see what we can get in here. The Lord is a preserver and a deliverer. In the time of great trouble concerning their deliverance. In all of Israel history, there was a covenant of God Jehovah Yah that he would not only fight for them, he will defend them from the enemy, but deliver them in the times of great disasters that the evil will not come nigh them. Now, as long as they walk circumspectly wise and keeping the statutes and commandments and adore the great Jehovah and his covenant, they was well and fine. He make a promise that it passing under the evil, none of the quakes and storms would not come near his people. Now, that's quite a promise of him preserving his people, and he gave his example in Israel all through the Bible. Now, during the days of Israel, they had many types of famines that hit the land. And as you read the Bible, a famine came up, was ordered by the Lord. A famine was ordered by the Lord. And during the famine, he would warn his people that the way they're going to be delivered was to follow his direction. Notice that Israel, at a time of famine, now I won't say this, did you notice in Bible that several times that major famines happened in Israel told to run to Africa?
Amen.
Anybody out there? See, they don't want to mention that word Africa when it comes to something that major, brother. They want to call, but if you don't believe what I'm saying, go and read if three times that Israel suffered from a great dirt of famine in the old, in fact, four times, and they were told to go to Africa. But Egypt is an African nation, you know.
Amen.
When Jesus was born and he was going to be assassinated and a hit had hit out to kill him and Satan had tried to kill, what did the angels say to Mary and Joseph?
Take the baby to Egypt.
And that's Africa. Just in case you people out there don't know, Egypt is African nation. I don't, just because you got some light-skinned people, because they've been mixed, they think that it's not an African nation. Because all of Egypt, they got some light-skinned Egyptians, and was it brown and black. So they look at the skin texture because they've been mixed with other nations. When they mix the skin color with other nations, so they won't think that Egypt is something different. Egypt, Ethiopia, Libya, all of those came out of Ham. They are African people, are nations. Now, the Bible, in Bible days, the continent was not called Africa. So it was not referred to as Africa. It's a modern-day name. The modern-day name of those continents that we call Egypt, Ethiopia, Libya, and all those, Sudan, they were not called Africa. It was called the land of their descendants, the land of Ham. So when Jesus got in trouble, it marvels me that the angel said, take the child to Egypt, to Africa, and stay there. And here we see when a famine came in Isaac's day, and God sent a man called Joseph to Africa to prepare a deliverance for his people in Egypt, which is the African Ham nation. And he says, run to Egypt, and because they're your deliverance, I'm going to prepare a deliverance for you in Africa. And so the children of Israel had to run down to Africa, and that was the reason God had a purpose for all of this, had a plan in all of this, that then three times the God of Israel goes to Africa and send and prepare a deliverance in Africa, and Africa was to get to know the one God of Israel. Now, you go, like the Lord said, he gives three witnesses. Well, he brought three witnesses. He sent Jesus, a baby Jesus, to Africa. I know people don't understand this, but they'll understand it later. So they were delivered almost three times running to Africa during a famine. Now, what is God trying to say when he does a particular thing? A lot of people may not know this. Now, you notice that most all the nations are running to America, United States in particular, looking for a refuge and a place of deliverance. This is the last days. This is the nation of Zion. So what is people doing? Has been since World War II, has been running to the nation, the freest nation, the most highest, greatest nation. They've been running for refuge, immigration, refuge, and deliverance into this nation. Now, America has been definitely in prophecy in the end time to be the top nation. We're born in the top nation, the special nation. This land is the land of Ham. The Europeans came over here, and the Lord allowed them to come, but this land was designated, given to Israel and to Israelite people, this America, all of it. And so he let the Gentiles or the European people come and take their seat, and they think this is their country. You know, since 1776, the Lord permitted it, and they think this is their country, their nation. But okay, we're about to see the mighty works of God to deliver his people in the midst of all of this shaking of the nation, because America is getting ready to be shaken like the rest of the world. It's shaking. Now, you're about to see something happen in Japan that has not happened. Now, we've already seen something happen in underground China that had not happened to the beginning 2,000 years ago. We're about to see something happen up in the Straits of Humeri and all the way to Vietnam, to Thailand, and South Africa. We're about to see the miraculous hand of the living God. And let's believe God that he bring his people out of those nations and bring them from afar back to his covenant. Now, we got, what, five nations? I guess all the sisters are asleep today on Sunday night, getting ready for the next day.
Well, I'm looking for somebody to be on in a minute.
Sunday's that night, you know, they're getting ready night, you know. Children and getting ready. When did school start begin?
Oh, that's a good question. Cause, you know, they started in, you know, I know down this way they've been, I think they've been stopping it because, you know, the COVID thing and all that. So,
well, it's what started, what, next week or 2 weeks, generally in September, you know, whatever. That's when basically started mostly everywhere. Yeah, so that's going to be a complexity. I'm going to see how that works out. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, I'm kind of grateful that I don't have any small children anymore, man. I'm really grateful for that. I kind of feel for the people that got 5, 6, and 7 different type of children. They're in a tantrum. What should they do? They got to commit their children to the living God. They got to trust their children and put their children under the covenant and teach them how to invoke that covenant as they go. Hallelujah. Under the covenant of God. And all of our children are going to have to release the covenant over them and over our children and our household, and they're going and coming. Because the covenant concerns our children. I will preserve your household and your children and deliver them. So we're going to have to invoke the covenant of Christ over our children and sanctify them and bless them with the covenant favor on their life and teach them the covenant favor as they go and pray and believe that the angel of the Lord is going to deliver them and the blood to preserve him and keep them. Because we don't teach them to pray and believe to broke the covenant of promise. And the father has broke the promise. The mother has broke the covenant promise over their seed to preserve and deliver them. That's part of the covenant of Christ concerning our family and our loved ones. Now, when they get grown and get hard-headed on their own, the covenant only goes so far, because once they get to the state of rebellion, knowing a rebellion against God and knowing rebel against God, that invokes something else. See, now they have reached the age of maturity and they're making their own choices, you know. So they are their own wings then.
Amen.
So they're not under your... The covenant only reaches in certain things when they're under your covenant and your reach. But once they receive, even though the covenant covers them, even though they're adult, it only reaches because now they have their own will and their own choices as individuals, you see. And now they're going to have to suffer the consequences if they don't want to embrace the covenant of Christ. That's just how it is. We can only preserve them so much and deliver them from so much evil. But during a certain state of their life, they're going to have to be shaken up to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they're going to have to choose him. So we're glad to have this hour, and we're going to continue the next week as you continue about healing, restoration, and wholeness. And I know you're going to continue on that journey, because a little part I was going is about healing, health, and restoration, deliverance, and wholeness, and miracle, because they're all tied together. Wholeness of God's people, his people being made whole and complete. That was part of what Jesus said. He came to redeem us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. What was the curse of the law that was leashed upon mankind? The curse of a fallen Adam and a broken law. How are we redeemed from the curses of the law and the favor of God to be made whole and live our life without fear, without worry, without fretting? Now, part of this deliverance, as we close, the redeemed Christian is to walk favor and walk under the covenant. And during these trying times, they'll walk in favor. We call assurance of the peace of God shall keep their hearts and minds, and they won't faint, nor worry, or have an anxiety attack. Because Jesus said, you will not walk in fear. You'll walk in faith and assurance. I will preserve you. Trust me and know me. I'm your deliverer. So the world will be trembling in fear and anxiety and grief attacks and sorrow, anxiety. He said, but I will deliver you. That's part of deliverance. Being under the fearful oppression attack, fear no evil. Fear not the words coming upon the world to shake the nation. So the people of God will be walking in a safety with assurance and peace that should keep their hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's what it means that they'll be looking, and Matthew, looking, the world be looking, having heart attacks and strokes and sorrow when they see all these things coming to pass. But we'll be set free from worry and the bondage of fear, because we're walking in the blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Now they say that, well, it's time to do it. Put it up now. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Restoration, health, healing, deliverance, and wholeness. So God bless you, brother, as you continue giving the 4 days a week going down that road.
Amen. So every night, glory be to God.
And you'll be what, coming on at 7 every evening or 6?
I've been coming on at 7. It may go to 6 at times, but mostly the common denominator is 7 o'clock.
Okay, then. So everybody, listen to the man of God telling about the healing, the restoration. The God wants us to be redeemed and made whole and walk in wholeness without fear and without worry and without anxiety. And he is our all in all. So listen every night at 7 p.m. to Evangelist Nathaniel Hunt, and be blessed.
Amen. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow, Lord say the same, we will have part 2 to health, healing, sickness, disease, Jesus will, part 2. And so that will be tomorrow. Look for the advertisement then. So we thank God for all you've been listening. For Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate. We love you. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
God bless you now.